feel the same. Father, speak to us, speak to our needs, speak to our hearts, speak to the issues that are going on in our lives this morning. Holy Spirit, let not your people just hear my voice, but let them hear your voice. Speak to them, O God. I pray, Lord, committing my mind into your hands. I pray that you direct my thoughts. I ask, O God, for the tongue of the learned in the name of Jesus. I pray for utterance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. This morning, I want to share something that is very dear to my heart, something that I've been thinking about for some time now. Just want to start today. But as the days go by, especially because we'll be entering into election season, I want to talk about this. And this is the first of the first on this topic that I'm going to speak about. But I'll speak about this again in the future. And it's taking control of your emotions. So our emotions are sometimes little foxes in our lives that destroy our beautiful Christian lives.
Mm-hmm.
There are emotions that can hide, yeah, things that can hide in us. Even though we are matured Christians, if we don't take control of those emotions, they are going to disgrace us at certain points in our lives. So it is important that we take control of our emotions. And a lot of people right now play on our emotions. Politicians, for instance, play on our emotions. And so when it's time for this election, they will start saying, one side will say one thing, another side will say one thing, and then bring division among families, among friends, among colleagues. And then after the election, once we declare the winner, they will say, let's all unite again. That is one of the things they say a lot after elections, unity. Why are they emphasizing unity after elections? Because during the elections, because of the various speeches they were given, they're inciting the people, they set people against themselves. And sometimes Christians fall victim of this situation. But we need to master our emotions. That yes, I have my choice, but I don't let them play on my emotions. And it's part of the maturity process for every believer. So today I'm going to point out a few things. Just this will be the introduction, but we'll talk about it more in the future. Now, the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, the Bible says that now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. And so heresies are here. So some people who are preachers, some of the things they are saying is an act of the flesh. And we need to be able to identify that. Envy, murderers, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Today, my focus are on the things that deal with our emotions. There are so many ways that we can divide or categorize the things that I've been mentioned here. But our focus today, let's just use one of those categorizations. The things that I've been mentioned here, if you put them into three parts, there's some of them that are sins against God. There are some of them that are sins against ourselves. There are some of them that are sins against other people. And those ones that are sins against other people, most of them here, falls in the category of emotions. So today I'll be dealing with hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension. No, just the ones that talk about emotions, and then envy. So I'll be talking about hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, and then envy. The Bible says in verse 21 that just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things. Now the Greek word there for practice is prazo, to practice, or that is to perform repeatedly or habitually. And so, yes, sometimes you get angry. The Bible says you can get angry, but you do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So sometimes you get angry. Last time, a couple of months ago, when I was meditating, I came to the conclusion that it is easy for you to direct your actions. But one of the things that is more difficult to master is your reactions. And so you can define your actions that this is how I'm going to approach this person. I'm going to be nice to that person. I'm going to speak very respectfully to that person. You have mastered, you can master that act easily. But if that person is rude to you, your reaction is more difficult to master. And it is another level of our maturity that we are able to master our reactions. So that when people do certain things that should get us angry, we don't respond angrily. And people do certain things that should cause us to hate them, we don't hate them because we have mastered our reaction. So the Bible says that those who practice these things, those who make these things a habit, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And inheriting the kingdom of God, some people will say that means they are going to lose their salvation. Others will say that it does not necessarily mean they are going to lose their salvation. But today, we are not touching on that. Today, we just want to focus on dealing with the emotions. The Bible says those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I want us to speak about hatred, first of all. The Greek word for hatred here is translated hostility or a reason for opposition or enmity. Now, the dictionary word here, the dictionary also explains hatred as extreme dislike or disgust. It also says that it is resentment that could be mutual or prejudice, hostility, or animosity. And I want to go with that one. That you set in your mind that you hate a person, you don't like them, you have hostility against them. And so even at the sound of their name, you just dislike it. You don't want to hear anything about them. And this type of hatred can be hidden in a Christian's life for so long. Sometimes you can even use scriptures to redefine them, spiritualize them, and keep them. And there'll be hatred in your heart. In fact, usually I want to stay in the context of the Bible, but scientifically, they say some of these emotions also attract sicknesses into our lives. Mm-hmm. When you have hatred, when you have jealousy, they can affect your health physically. And so everything that the Bible tells us to deal with and avoid, they definitely have physical benefits and they have spiritual benefits. And so hatred is one of the things that we can even keep against even believers. We can keep hatred in our heart against people and it can affect our mental health, it can affect our physical health. Just because we are keeping hatred in our heart. We can be very spiritual. We can be very prayerful. We can be good Christians who can quote scripture. But this thing can be hidden in our heart. And we cannot even sometimes identify that this is hatred. Because we have spiritualized it. There's a way to spiritualize it. There's a way to even use scripture to qualify or to define hatred against a certain group of people. And so you just add the sound of their name. The Bible says that God hates sin. But God does not hate the person who is practicing sin. He does not hate that person. But sometimes believers, in an attempt to prove to people that they are wrong, we get to the place where we hate them. That is not where the Bible wants us to get to. Because if Jesus Christ had hatred for sinners, he wouldn't have come. He doesn't like sin. But he loves the person and wants the person to come out of sin. And so for the people that we want them to come out of sin, our approach to them is to demonstrate love and to preach the truth to them and not to hate them. And so hatred can be hidden in your heart as a believer. And this is the emotions that I want us to expose, bring before the Holy Spirit, that God will deal with our heart, the things that are hidden in our heart, the hate. Because sometimes you are so nice to people and you expect that they'll be nice to you back. But you don't get it back anytime, every time. And so if people do that to you, how do you react as a believer? I want us to be able to identify some of the reactions that are the act of the flesh. So as soon as somebody does something to you and you begin to hate that person, no matter how many scriptures you quote, no matter how many hours you spend praying, if you still have this animosity against the person, you are not walking in the spirit. And this is what we all have to identify as believers. And so we might know that we need to walk in love, but if our love is rejected, how do we act after that? The Bible says that these are the works of the flesh, and hatred is one of them. And the Greek word for hatred, no, I think I mentioned I've dealt with the Greek word already. The 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that he who says he is in the light, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so sometimes you think that this person has done something wrong to me, and so this person deserves to be punished. In fact, this person does not deserve kindness from me anymore. But as a Christian, what does God expect you to do? As soon as you begin to allow the hatred to continue, as we said, those who practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So as soon as you make it a habit to hate that person who has offended you, perpetually you have decided that this person has offended me and I will not like the person. As soon as you make it a habit, you are not walking in the spirit. You are not doing what Christ expects you to do. Yes, the person has offended you. Yes, you have every right to hate the person. That is if you are in the world. But if you are a person of the kingdom, hatred is not something that we allow to stay in our heart. And that's why the Bible talks a lot about forgiveness. We all here have been forgiven. And that's what God expects us to do. If somebody does something wrong, you have to forgive them. Not just for the person's sake, but for your own sake. Because it is against your beliefs as a Christian. It is against your culture as a person of the kingdom to have hatred. And so we need to deal with this, because these things can stay in our heart for so long. And these type of sins are actually the type of sins that hinder our growth as believers. You know, it is easy to identify fornication and say, this is fornication, I've done something wrong, let me go ask for forgiveness. But hatred can be in your heart. You love all other people, but you have singled that person out, that you don't like that person. And it might not come out every time, unless you talk to the person, unless you meet the person, then that emotion begins to come up. Then you know that you hate the person. There are people that when you hate them, you know you hate them. Nobody needs to tell you. And as long as you continue to tolerate that emotion, you are not walking in the spirit. You are not living your life as a Christian. You need to take control of your emotions. Don't let people's action determine your reaction. Several years ago, a preacher said something that I love so much. He said that, I don't react, I just keep acting. That he won't react to the things that people are doing around him. He will just keep acting on what the word of God says. And so his action towards somebody is not dependent on what the person did, but it's dependent on what the word of God says. So he's just acting on the word and not reacting on what the people did to him. Because people will offend you. There are people that you are so nice to. You have been so kind to, and you expect that they will pay you back with the kindness. But it is not in the human nature to pay back kindness. And they will just switch on you. And you will just be wondering, what did I do wrong? What have I done to this person? Sometimes you've not done anything to those people. But what then do you do as a believer when things like that happen? If you were a natural man, to the natural man, you have to hate that person. But you are not just a natural man. You are a spiritual person. So you act according to the spirit. And that's what the Bible says. These things are the works of the flesh. And he listed them here. Jealousy, hatred, and those things. They are the works of the flesh. And so somebody sometimes will be standing in the pulpit spewing out hatred against another person or another group of people. That is how you identify the works of the flesh. One time in the Bible, in the book of Kings, there was a prophet who gave one prophecy. And another prophet, in fact, all the prophets gave one prophecy to the king that the king was going to win the battle. And another prophet came and gave an opposing prophecy that, no, this battle the king is going to lose. And one of the prophets slapped the other prophet and said, at what point did the Spirit of God leave me and came unto you that you are opposing my prophecy? That is not Christianity. People slapping people in church, slapping people in the pulpit. No. That, even though that, I'm not saying that person is not a Christian, but at that point, it's an act of the flesh. So we need to be able, and sometimes you can use scripture to cover it. Sometimes because of the person's position in the church or in the kingdom, we think that, oh, what the person did is still right. No, the person acted in the flesh. And we need to be able to identify the acts of the flesh. So if there are certain things that you say, that you probably will justify them with scripture. But the Bible makes us understand that these things are the acts of the flesh. And so we need to be able to identify them. So I was talking about 1 John. 1 John says that he who says that he is in the light. So all of us who are saying we are Christians, we are declaring that we have declared our stand that we are in the light. And hates his brother is in darkness. And so if hatred is still in your heart against anyone, you are still in darkness. Yes, you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. But the Bible says here, this is not my words. We are just reading here. It says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Yes, that person has offended you. They have done something that when you speak to every court of law in the natural, we speak to every natural man, they will say that, yes, you don't have to like this person. You have to oppose them. But the Bible says that if you hate your brother, you are in darkness. And if you practice these things, the Bible says in Galatians that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says he who loves his brother abides in the light. And there is no cause of stumbling. So I wanted to look into the word stumbling. What does the word stumbling mean? So the Bible says that if you are a person who loves, then you are in the light. But if you are a person who hates, you are in darkness. If you are a person who loves, there is no cause for you to stumble. But if you are a person who hates other people, then there is a cause for you to stumble. So I look into the meaning of the word stumble. The Greek word is skandalon. And it meant a trap, a snare, an occasion to fall. And so, and that gave me a clearer understanding. So when I put that word here now to replace stumble, the Bible says, he who loves his brother abides in the light. And there is no cause for an occasion to fall. Because as long as you have that hatred in your heart, one day, it'll come out when you meet the person. It will become a fight, an exchange of words. Or you say things about the person that are not pleasant. That gives you a snare. That is, hating somebody is a snare that you have put in your own path that is going to lead you down as a believer. As a matter of fact, there are certain levels in the realm that you can never get to if you have hatred in your heart. There's a certain level in your relationship with God that you will never get to if those things in your heart are not dealt with. And so one of the things that we all have to do as Christians is to take charge of our emotions and not let the wind carry our emotions or not let the things around us carry our emotions, because people can provoke you and you will lose it. But we need to master our reactions. As we try to perfect our actions, we have to also pay attention to our reactions. Because you get to a point where you have been a Christian for so long, but people do things to you and you just unleash it on them. You don't spare them. You need to get to the point where you are able to master your reactions to. That even though people do something that is wrong to you and they deserve a payback, you just walk as a Christian and you react as a Christian. It's one of the things, I mean, when I was meditating and this came to my mind, I felt like it is really one of the things that a lot of us have not really mastered or paid attention to. Most of the times we fail in our reactions than we fail in our actions. Because when people do things to us, we just want to pay them back quickly. And so let's allow space between the time that people do things to us and the time that we react. When you allow that space, the things that you know as a believer, you are able to recollect them and know how to act towards them. But when you act quickly, sometimes, most of the times, you act in the flesh. And so we all need to master our reactions to people. So we are still on hatred. The Bible says that, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going. So you could be professing Christianity and telling people that you are a matured believer and you have been a Christian for several years. But if you still have the hatred in your heart, the Bible says you don't know where you are going. You don't know what you are doing. So you need to give way for healing. You need to give way for forgiveness so that you will not have hatred towards those people. I'm not saying that these things are easy. These emotions are not easy if you want to do them in your natural strength. But at the end of this message, we will see the solution to all these emotions, how we can master all of them. So the Bible says that that is 1 John. So I have written here that people will do things to you that might cause you to hate them. They will offend you. They will speak about you. They will oppose you. But what must be your reaction as a believer? Your reaction must be based on the word of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says that we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. How do we know that we have passed from death to life? Because we love them and we don't hate them. So if we change or if we turn the scripture, then if you still hate other people, you have not passed from death to life. But you are still tolerating death in your life. If you have, because all these emotions that we saw in Galatians, they are all dark spots in our heart. And if we allow them to go on, they are just going to attract evil things to us. And remember, when you allow dark things in your life, they don't come alone. They usually go out there and invite other things. And so you might be a believer who is such a believer with a good character. You are doing everything like Christ. But you have allowed this one thing in your life, hatred. And as the hatred continues to be a habit, then other things come in. Now you become jealous. You become envious. Because every sin starts in your mind. As you continue to allow them in your mind, then you start acting on them. And so when you allow one thing in your heart, it's not going to stay there alone, but it will bring other things. And then in the end, some of those things affect your health. Some of those things, they don't only affect your spirit, but they affect your health as well. Some of these things are the reason why sometimes we cannot hear the voice of God, because they separate between us and God. There is a desire for you to get to a certain realm and a certain level of relationship with God, but you need to deal with certain emotions. I just want to share this. I normally don't want to share some of these stories, but I just want to share one story with you. There was a time that we're having this. Growing up, we used to have this prayer and fasting, like 21 days all night. We'll be praying and we'll be fasting throughout the night. And there was a time that before, we usually go to the church, sleep a little, wake up and start praying throughout the night. And then I had a voice. The voice said to me that, the voice of the Holy Spirit said to me that when something has been revealed to you, you don't have to fight the flesh. You don't have to fight in the flesh. So when there are things that sometimes people are planning against you, there are sometimes you see people and you know the things they said about you. It's a work of the Spirit. But if you are going to be acting in the flesh every time it is revealed to you, the revelation will cease. You have dreams about people. They are saying certain things about you. They are doing certain things against you. But if you are always going to react in the flesh when such revelations are given to you, they will cease. Jesus Christ knew what? Is it Nathanael? Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus Christ wasn't there when he said that. But Jesus Christ knew what he said. When Jesus met him, he said, oh, you were Jewish indeed. You are a Jewish person indeed. Jesus didn't say anything wrong. Even though he was doubting the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus met him and didn't say, well, I saw you under the tree when you were saying all those evil things about me, about Nazareth. I saw you. If you think that nothing good can come out of Nazareth, just go back to where you're coming from. So when things are revealed to you by the Spirit of God, don't bring them as tools or as battles in the flesh. Wage war in the Spirit. And that word that I heard actually prepared me for something that was going to happen. But I knew that these things had already been revealed to me in the Spirit, and I have been warned not to take them to battle in the flesh. And I'm just, I don't know what, why this thing came in, but I don't know what I was saying before this thing came in. But that's why nobody don't want to use these stories, because they will make you miss the point you are trying to make.
About your reaction.
Right, about how you react to things. Yeah, so if you are able to catch something in prayer, and usually there's somebody, sometimes they show you that, oh, there's this person who is doing this thing against you, and people will just take it, that person is very evil. And from that time, you make sure that you keep that person away, you cancel that person. But when things are revealed to you by the Spirit of God, God doesn't expect you to take them and react to them in the flesh, but react to them in the Spirit as a spiritual person. So let's think to the text again here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says that hatred stirs strife, but love covers all sins. In fact, the solution to all these emotions is love. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It will be able to perfect our emotions. What we need to excel in is love. Love for people. Love for people who don't deserve love. Because we also didn't deserve the love of God. And so if there's anybody in your life that you think, this person does not deserve my love, but remember, you also do not deserve the love of God, but he still loves you. So the Bible says love is the bond of perfection. Love is what makes everything perfect. Love is what will make every relationship perfect. If we are able to excel in our love for people. And so one of the things that as believers we always need to pray for is the ability to love people and to love God. That our love for God will be so deep and our love for people will be so deep. It will not be dependent on who they are, or what they have done, or what they can do for us, but we just love them. That should be our nature. So that when we hear things about people say things about us, that should hurt us. Because the love in our heart is so much, those things are not able to determine our reaction. Most of us who are believers, have not really perfected love. We have not. And that should be our goal always. And that's why Jesus said, these are the two most important commandments, that you love God and you love your neighbor. Those two commandments, Bible says that they are the foundation of every other commandment. So if you are able to excel in these two things, you are going to walk as a perfect Christian. Love God and love man. If you're able to excel, that is all we have to do. Love God and love man. If we are able to excel in these two, if you go back to Galatians and we look at these scriptures, the acts of the flesh, you can again categorize them into two. That if I'm able to excel in loving, these are things that I'm doing against God. These are things that I'm doing against man. And so if I'm able to excel in these two, then this act of the flesh will not be seen in my life. And as Christians, we need to deal with hatred in our life. Don't allow it. Don't give it a place in your life. Not only because of the person who has done something wrong, but because of your own profession as a Christian, that you profess that you are a Christian and you need to walk in love no matter what. Like Jesus Christ, the people who were spitting on Jesus Christ, he went on the cross and still said, Father, forgive them. The people who nailed him to the cross, they inflicted pain to him. If Jesus Christ did not forgive the apostles, today we wouldn't have the Bible that we are reading. Because they all betrayed him. People will betray you. But does that mean that you need to harbor hatred against them? There are some people that you have decided that you will imprison them in your heart, and until you meet Jesus Christ, you will never forgive them. But that shouldn't be part of your life as a believer. Do you really want to take that hatred to your grave? Hate a person till you go to your grave. Sometimes you hear people say that, I will never forgive you. It's over my dead body. Do you really want to harbor hatred to your grave? Because at a point in your life, when you're on your bed and you have your last few minutes, nothing that anyone did to you ever matters to you anymore. At that point, you are thinking about, how am I going to meet God? Nothing that they ever, no matter how serious their crime is, go to the hospitals, people who are fighting for their lives, nothing matters to them again. They just want to hope, if they are holding on to life as they just want to, if they can hold on to something that will bring them back to life, that is what they want to do. Nothing anyone ever said about them matters. You know, people can say things about you and you'll keep them in your mind forever. You never let them go. But at the point where you have your last few minutes, those words do not matter at all. And if those words do not matter at that point, then know that they never mattered in your life. They were just words and air that was released out. Let them go. Forgive those people. Release them from your heart. Forgive them and set them free. You set yourself free as well. Mm-hmm. Don't let hatred, because hatred is one of those little foxes that destroy our Christian lives. And I'm not saying that any one of us has mastered that act yet, but if we allow the love of God to take over our heart, then people say all these things about us, they don't really matter anymore, because we are filled with love. No matter what they do to you, you still just love them. And sometimes people do things to you and you're still nice to them and you still laugh. You still meet them, you smile, you love them, and they are wondering, at what point is this guy going to react? They are still just waiting because they know the things they have done wrong to you. And they are just waiting for the occasion where you react. Don't give them that opportunity. Walk in love as a believer. Don't give them that chance. Sometimes they know they have said things about you. You have heard it and you meet them and you still hug them. They are still wondering, waiting. Just let them keep waiting. But don't act in a way that responds to what they have done. Just act on the word of God. So Colossians again, the Bible says here, therefore, as the elect of God, I think I already read this, verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, The Greek word there is sink into love. Sink into the love of God. Sink into the love of the Holy Spirit. If the Bible says to do something, then God knows you can do it. That is why he's asking you to do it. He says, put on love. Put it on as a garment. When people see you, they know they have seen the love of God. Put it on. Let it be your identity. When people see you, they know they have seen somebody who loves God. They have seen somebody who loves people. Bible says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love perfects everything. Love perfects every relationship. Love will make you perfect. If you love God and you love man, that is how your Christian life is supposed to be like. Bible says love is the bond of perfection. Love is what sums up everything. Love is the conclusion of every problem, every crisis, and every situation. If we are going to be able to reach out to people and show them Christ, we need to love them. Now, Christians these days, we are trying to, for instance, the LGBTQ community that we are trying to draw into the kingdom. Some people hate them. Some Christians hate them. At their sight, and if you hear anything about them, it's just something that comes into your heart and you hate them. But you shouldn't allow that hatred to continue, because God loves everyone but hates sin. And so, in as much as some people could be wrong in their ways, they are wrong in their ways, and it opposes our beliefs, how are we supposed to act towards them? Are we supposed to hate them? The Bible says if you hate anyone, no matter how many scriptures you use to explain, it is still an act of the flesh. And so you can point so many scriptures to the fact that God does not like this lifestyle. But if your response to that lifestyle is hatred, you are acting in the flesh. We are not supposed to act in the flesh. Which we are supposed to love everyone. That is our duty, right? I think when we used to have the online service, I preached a message on the believer's duty of love. The believer's debt of love. If you go on a podcast, you'll find it. The believer's debt of love. The Bible says that the only debt that we are supposed to owe people is to love them. We are not supposed to owe people anything, but our debt that we owe everyone is to love them. So everyone you see around here, you have a debt to pay, and that debt that you have to pay to them is to love them. And so we need to love everyone. I don't want to go into the other ones because of time, so that I don't rush into it, because this is something that has really been on my heart that I want to share. So I just want to take my time and then explain this thing. So I wouldn't go into the other one, just settle on hatred for today. Then we'll take the other ones next week, because I just want to take my time to explain these things or to deal with these things. So, and Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called. When you have hatred in your heart, you don't have peace. As soon as you hate someone, there's no peace in your heart. There won't be peace in your heart. But the peace of God will rule in your heart when you have love for people. You just hate somebody, that as soon as you hear their name, there's something that springs up in your heart. I don't know if you have ever experienced it. There's people you don't like. You just hear their name and something just... Or maybe I'm speaking to very spiritual people. So. you just at the sound of their name, you just something comes up and you ask yourself, what is that thing? It's this lack of peace because of that hatred that you have. And you see how your body reacts to hatred. That at the sound of their name, just your heart maybe skips a beat or something. And it's not healthy for you. And so when God says not to hate people, he knows that it's not good for your health. Amen. Right. So, to which you are called in one body. And the Bible says that, and be thankful, let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And for us to be able to sink in the love of God, for us to be able to put on the love of God, we need to meditate on the Word. We need the Word of God. Because the Word of God replaces some of these feelings that we have in our heart. As we set our minds on the Word of God, because if you don't set your mind on the thing that the person did to you, but you know this person has done something wrong to you, but as you are thinking about that thing the person did to you, now the Word of God comes into your mind. The Word of God says forgive as you have been forgiven. As you are thinking about the fact that this... So the more you think about what the person did, the more you hate the person. The more you focus on the action and the more you focus on yourself, the more you hate the person. Now you change the focus from what the person did and from yourself, the pain the person has caused you, and start thinking about the Word of God. Then that creates the room for you to start forgiving the person and start releasing the person. And so when you start thinking about the people who have offended you, switch your thinking. Think about the Word of God. How does God expect me to think of, to act towards this person? And so when that thought comes again, you switch to the Word of God. Because you can actually switch your thoughts. You can switch it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the power to switch on, to switch the things you think on. You don't have, you might not have control over the things that come into your mind, but you have control over the things that you decide to focus your thoughts on. So things will come into your mind. They might not be so good, but you can switch it and start thinking about the good things. And so the thing that the person did to you, it's been so long, but as soon as it comes back into your mind, the hatred begins again. And sometimes you start even crying because of the things that they did to you several years ago. Those people have forgotten and they are living their good life. But you have still not freed yourself from that prison, that action that happened several years ago has put you in. And every time you remember those actions, you begin to cry. Or you just hate them. That you wish something bad will happen to them. You know, there are people that you wish something bad should just happen to this person, so that this person will know that they have done something wrong against a child of God. But it is not Christian in Christianity. Yes, they did something wrong against you, but do you think God hates them? You know, sometimes how we make human beings our enemies and we pray that God should cause them to die or some sickness so that they will know that they have offended a child of God. But there are people that God loves. Jesus Christ died for them too. And so, let's forgive people and let's act like Christ. Now, I'm just going to make this. I have so many scriptures that I want to share, but let's just focus on hatred today. We'll move on to contention, jealousy, and wrath, selfish ambition in the following weeks. But I really want us to take our time to deal with these things, because they hinder our growth as Christians. They hinder our progress as believers. If we don't deal with these things in our lives, they will stop us from growing as spiritual people. So finally, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father. So you can't say that I hate you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatever you do, whether in your words or in your action, do them in the name of Jesus. And so the things that you think about, that your thoughts about other people, do those things in the name of Jesus. If you have any type of negative thoughts or negative emotion or negative feeling about somebody, when their name comes into your mind, just say good things about them. Sometimes pray for them. Pray for them. And that's what the Bible says, pray for your enemies. And by so doing, you'll be heaping coals of fire on them. First of all, when you start praying for somebody, the results that you're expecting is not that you want to heap coals of fire on them. But mostly, that's how we use that scripture. But you have to genuinely wish them well when you are praying for them. Don't use that scripture and say, I'll just be praying for you so that I'll be heaping coals of fire on your head. No, that shouldn't be your motive for praying for them. But you have to be genuine when you pray for them. And as you are praying for those people who have hurt you, that feeling of hatred begins to leave. And what normally happens is that the people you pray for, sometimes they begin to discover their offense. They begin to discover that they have done you wrong and they come to you. Your prayer for them will make the people you pray for, you can't hate. If you're genuinely praying for somebody, you can't hate them. And as you are praying for them, prayer is actually a spiritual communication. It will influence that person's action towards you. And the people will begin to discover the things they have done wrong and even come to you and sometimes ask for forgiveness. You see, if you are always expecting to be justified in everything that ever happened or everything that people have ever done to you, one day you are waiting for the truth to come out so that everybody will know you didn't do anything wrong. It won't happen. Most of them don't even happen. There was no point that it ever happened that Potiphar's wife accused Joseph. There was no point in the Bible that it was overturned, that the truth came out, that Joseph didn't attempt to rape Potiphar's wife. There was no point in the Bible. Some people would die believing that he actually did it, but God knows he never did it. So some of those things that people have accused us of, the truth will never come out. And we spend hours praying, God, let the truth come out. But just let God's will be done in that process. Now, when Joseph finally became the governor, Potiphar's wife accusation doesn't even matter at that point anymore. But the will of God came to pass. So if we are always waiting for, I just want the truth to come out, some of those truths will not come out. But God knows you didn't do it. God knows. And how God sees you is more important than how men see you. Sometimes some of those truths will come out. But don't let it be your goal. Just let the will of God be done. If you are okay before the eyes of God, that is fine. Amen. We will continue. We'll continue this message next week. We'll deal with all the emotions next week. And so let's just bow our heads and pray. We all have one way or the other that we know we need these words, this thing that we just heard. There are people that we need to set free in our heart. There are reactions that we need to act better. We just want to pray, committing ourselves to God. Help us to walk in love. Bible says, love is the bond of perfection. If we master the act of love, we will never be at fault as believers. And so I just want all of us to pray now. Just bring yourself before God. I want you to speak to God now. If this God has used this message to point out any part in your life that needs to be rectified, just ask God for that help now. Ask God to help you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord. We pray, Father, for the grace to be able to love, to walk in love towards all men. Father, help us that hatred will not be found in our heart. Hatred will not be found in our soul. It will have no place in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we declare that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Just like Jesus loved all men, we receive grace to love all men. Father, help me to forgive. Help me, Lord, to release every person in my heart who has offended me one way or the other. Any hatred that I have towards any man, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that you heal my heart. Heal every heart that is here, Lord. Everyone under the sound of my voice, any pain in their hearts, Lord, I pray for healing. I pray, Lord, for the grace to be able to forgive everyone. Holy Spirit, we ask that you share the love of God abroad in our hearts, Lord. Let us, oh God, be brokers of love and brokers of hope. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, very quickly, I'm just going to share our... this, if you want, this is how you can give to the church. And because of time, I'll invite our sister to lead us in a few minutes to pray as we step into this week. We are asking.